Boy, this night has gone by fast. We've got another hour to go. We'll take your phone calls. We'll chat. We're going to find out a little bit about poker through the eyes of a magician and a guy with an incredible mind, Jim Carroll, on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, you're driving me nuts on your website with that flash, that blue ball. How in the heck do those things work?
I don't even know how half this stuff works.
I mean, it is unbelievable. You play around with numbers, symbols, and it knows what to do.
It's amazing. That's what I'm telling you. Magic is just like it brings out the little kids in us. It's incredible. And if you play with it a while, dabble with magic a little bit, one thing leads to another like it did for me, and before you know it, it's like, wow, it's actually an educational tool as well. Who would have thought it, you know? Now I go around, I did a couple high schools locally, like my local high school here where I live. He said there were 23 students failing two subjects or more in middle school, middle and high school, right. 8th and 9th grade, right? I said, you know what? I'll do something with them. Give me them an hour for 3 days. Let their parents come in with them. That happened. This true story. Get out my magic, a couple magic tricks, got them a little thrill. Like the one kid had like spiked hair and a big trench coat. You know, these are kids that skip class and everything. You know what I mean? And I had these kids eating out of my hand, George. They, you know, and I start teaching them math stuff. All right. Then the next day I said, look, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you guys whoever could memorize the presidents of the United States by tomorrow. I'm going to give them my book, 50 Ways to Hustle Your Friends. I swear, single kid knew the president.
Good for you.
And before that, no, because it's an easy little thing. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Rollins, Beckham, Bureau, Harris, Tyler, Post. I mean, I could do all the presidents. I could do so much. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because it's bragging. I don't like to brag. But if you see me in person.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm telling you, it's fun. But poker.
You'd be a good teacher.
Nah.
Yeah, you would because you reach people. You remind me of that television, that movie, where that guy, he escaped from the nut house.
And that's why I remind you.
But he went into class, he became a accidental substitute teacher, and he acted out history in costume. And the kids loved him. They, you know, he'd come in one day dressed up like, Colonel Custard.
Yeah.
And then the next day he'd be someone else and someone else. And
I'm telling you what, it works. I think it works. You reach these kids. Like, I know how to reach. Like you should see some of the people I reach in some of these colleges. Like, some of the inter-city kids oh, my God, I have them eating out of my hand. I reach these people. The magic is such a powerful tool to reach people. It's incredible.
By the way, to those people who think I said nut house derogatorily, no, it was a comedy. I'm talking about the film. Not real life, folks.
Like Jim Carrey, not
that kind of thing. Let's take some calls before you teach us about poker. Okay. And then at the end of this hour, you're going to tell us about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the list.
All right.
Here.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of our psychics did that for the NCAA championship, and he was way off. He picked USC, and he was
really?
He was wrong.
Well, I'm going to do a prediction like no one has ever heard.
Okay.
So tell you.
To the phones we go. International line. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Cancun, Marlo.
Well, welcome to the show, Marlo. It's all yours.
I can reach you, George. Man, I've been calling, trying to get a hold of you a long time. I was stationed in Albuquerque. I have a comment for your guest also and a question. And I'd like to give you a comment. Is that all right?
Yep.
Okay. I was stationed in Albuquerque, New Mexico at Sandia Labs, between the Sandia Labs and Los Alamos. I don't know if you're familiar with Los Alamos and Sandia Labs. Actually, I was a janitor. I just retired here for about 30 years. And I got the information on UFOs. What's happening is our government has makes laser projections from a satellite and makes laser projections of UFOs. And what they want to do is use the same concept as when you're in the Army during boot camp. And first you have, like, your different races that come into boot camp, Mexicans, whites, and blacks. And, you know, nobody can get along until who comes out the drill sergeant. And they're trying to get the new world order into effect. And they're going to use the same concept as making us think that we're going to have UFOs attack our planet, and then we're going to fight them off, and it's going to be holograms. So there's no such thing as a UFO. It's our government making laser projections of UFOs to make us think that we're going to be attacked by aliens from outer space.
All right, gotcha.
Interesting.
Gotcha. It is interesting. Yeah. Fascinating. By the way, it's General Custer. I was thinking of Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
How about that?
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
And General Custer.
Yeah.
Jim Carroll?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, I'm doing a magic act out here in Cancun, and I lost contact in New York City. I bought these about maybe 15 years ago. I bought maybe a couple of dozens of these bird whistles that they have in magic stores. Could you direct me to a magic store there in New York City that might have them?
I would check Tannins. That's the biggest shop in the city, Tannins Magic Shop.
Tannins.
Can you spell that, please?
Tannins. How do you spell that?
T-A-N-N-E-N-S. It's across the street from the Empire State Building on 34th Street.
Where somebody just jumped from today, by the way.
No.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Kid went up there, 21-year-old kid. He got up to the 66th floor of the 102 floors, and he jumped.
My God.
I mean, unbelievable.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I wouldn't kid
about that. And,
unbelievable.
Yep. Tannins, though, for this. Huh? They sell great old things, too.
Oh, they sell everything, George. That's the shop. Oh, boy. That's the shop that I went to when I was a little kid. And I remember this street magician that used to perform outside of it named Cellini. Cellini was incredible, man. He did things with his hands, with these cups, and oh my God, the guy just—he turned me on to magic. And then he let me do my trap, my little trap at the time. It wasn't the big bear trap on the street for all the people, and everybody's like clapping and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great.
What were the bird whistles he was into? What are they?
Oh, they got all kinds of stuff. But
tricks?
There are like hundreds of thousands of magic things out there. So many different things.
What's your favorite magic trick?
Oh, my God.
Whether you see it or whether you've done it.
My favorite one is the one I did on Rosie O'Donnell and Ellen, where I could tell somebody to, over the phone, over a speakerphone. Like, if I was in your studio right now with you.
All right.
We could slam a deck of cards on your desk. You could hold them and keep your hand on them. You can call anybody your little heart desires on this planet.
And they'd guess the card?
And I will guess the card they name. That is the coolest trick in the world, in my opinion.
Well, now let me ask you something.
That's the trick. If I
had an imaginary deck of cards?
Yeah.
Could you? And I was very honest.
I'd have to be with you. I'd have to be with you, George, just to look in your eyes. That's I'm serious about that. But that's the trick.
Huh.
Like if your guests, I mean your fans, they could see that trick on the Ellen show. I did it on Ellen to her brother, and that's the trick I did to Rosie O'Donnell to her sister, I think it was.
You look at the eyes,
or her
though.
Friend. It's cool. You got to see it. That's my favorite card trick.
That's why so many guys wear sunglasses playing poker.
Oh, man, some of these guys, you wouldn't believe how they dress. Oh, my God.
it's an event.
It's a craze right now. It's becoming a craze amongst celebrities,
yeah.
Too. And it's a fun game. It's a fun game. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. There's nothing like seeing that. Big winning hand coming when you take three people all in and you win, all right? And then the worst thing, George, is when you go all in and you have to push your chair in and walk away from the table and you're out of the tournament.
And you're out. But I would go all in with nothing just to trick people.
I love that game. I love the game. Well, I never made it to a final table with these guys yet, but I hope to get there.
You'll get close.
I just started playing a couple months ago. You know, I played all my life, but I just started playing – you know, with the big guys, you know, and
Highlighted, let's say, on ESPN or anything?
No, Scott Flansburgh was just highlighted on ESPN. He went into the World Series of Poker, but I just began, you know, and I see because I'm traveling all the time, entertaining, and to get into these tournaments, you got to sometimes be off 3-4 days, maybe even a week. And
you don't get paid unless you win, right?
No, you don't get nothing. You got to get most of the time, you got to, like, it depends how many people are in the tournament, like, if there are several hundred, and then, you know, you might get some money in the top 30 or 40 or whatever. I don't know how they, you know, divvy it up. But the World Series of Poker, what was it, over 6,000 people entered?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And getting bigger.
That's like playing a lottery.
Yep. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tom. I'm calling from Nebraska. I just have a quick question.
Sure thing, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, I've throughout my life been able to call cards pretty well. Out of a deck of 52, cut the cards, and I'll be able to tell you the card that you're cutting.
Wow!
But my question is, how do I develop that further into something other than cards, or something a little bit better than?
How accurate are you, Tom? How are you pretty?
I could say probably about 80%.
Wow! That's incredible. I'd like to meet this guy. That's incredible.
Maybe he could teach us something.
Wow, well, that is incredible, Tom. That's a good gift.
For an instance, when you started talking about cards earlier in the show, the first thing that I saw in my mind was two of clubs, and then you mentioned to George, you know, for instance, you're thinking of a two, and let's say it's a club. Things like that, I see a picture in my mind, and usually, you know, about 80% of the time, it's there.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 25.
You're a kid yet. God, you should pursue this. And you should get checked to see that they got, like, Duke University. They have these studies on ESP and, boy, if you could guess that many, if you're that accurate, my God, you should get into this. This is a
good... I never realized an accuracy until I was a bellman working graveyard, and me and the other guy that I worked with, we had a deck of cards. We were just messing around, seeing who could guess more cards, and I'm incredibly good at cards, but
wow.
It's only been cards.
Well, hey, that's a start. It's a start. Like I said, think about it. You're 25, man. I didn't start this career until I was in my early 30s, and I didn't get into this weird stuff until recently, like the last few years. And you're 25 and you're doing it? God, there's a career for you out here. Check out my website. Contact me by email. We'll talk anytime. Oh, my God, I'd love to see somebody like you get launched into something.
Is your
like
son, Jim, the little guy, is he going to end up being a magician?
No, I think he's going to be a rock star.
Really?
He plays the guitar. And
how old is he now?
Well, now he just turned 16.
Okay. 10 years jumped on that story. Okay.
15, all 15 and 16-year-olds, and they're making CDs up there now and everything. Oh, my God. They're getting good. He's like a never had a lesson.
Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do for you, okay?
Yeah. All right.
When he's done with a CD that you like, you get it to us. And we'll play it on our 500 radio station affiliate network.
Oh, my gosh. You do that
for it like a little bumper song or something.
I do that. I'm telling you, they got something going here. I mean, like, you know, first about 6-7 months ago, hey, wow, it sounds like Black Sabbath. It sounds like Led Zeppelin, you know? And they're creative. They do their own music, their own words.
Well, can you get me like a Frank Sinatra type song or something?
I don't know if they're into that.
Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask Jim if he'd ever studied runic magic.
Runic?
Which is a real magic.
Yeah, you know, I know people that did, like the Necronomicon book. Yeah, I kind of, like, steered away from it. I don't know why, because... The people that were doing it at the time, they seemed kind of like goofy. I don't know. I was afraid of them.
Well, they use it for divination also.
Yeah. I believe. I just never really studied up on it, but I know people that do, and they're pretty unique people, to say the least. That's the real magic. Yeah, that's the real deal.
Do you believe in real magic?
Do I believe in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely do. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell everybody something, George. I'm a skeptic, all right? But I have a very open mind, all right? Until I believe that anything is possible. Anything you can conceive in your mind is possible. You know, there are a lot of skeptics out here that just close themselves off, you know? And I admire some of the guys that are like, but I believe that everything is possible. I believe anything can happen. Anything.
Well,
what do we know?
We're supposed to... used to say... Mind is the builder.
That's right. And it's, you know, I think anything is possible. I'd be a fool to say, no, that's impossible. I'm a skeptic to everything. That's foolish. That's a foolish statement. You never know what's out here. Man, it's a big universe, man. We're just a little piece of dust.
Yep.
Who the hell knows?
Oh,
who the heck
George.
Knows?
Yep. Dust in the wind. Yeah.
That's right. So
I wanted to say something about bumper music you had earlier, too. Doctor Who. I recognized it.
You got it, huh?
Yep. I used to love to watch Doctor Who, but they don't make new ones anymore.
No, they don't. Nope. As a matter of fact, they've lost some of the episodes. They can't find them.
I'd like to see them make it new. I've had an idea. I'd love to be like I've had an idea for a Doctor Who 2.
Doctor Who 2. I like, hey, thanks for the call. All right. Take a couple minutes. Tell us about poker. What can we learn here from you, Jim?
Okay. I think Well, first of all, obviously, the best thing to do is to go to your local bookstore and get a book. You know, Doyle Brunson, anybody. I don't want to mention names because there are a lot of good people out there. Just about any book you grab will help you, all right? Then you could go online and just type in Texas Hold'em odds, okay? Study the odds, all right? And then my big thing is having a memory, a good memory. It comes in handy first of all, having a good memory doesn't help you with Texas Hold'em, believe me. I mean, other than remembering odds and situations, it doesn't give you an advantage, all right? It does in blackjack and other games, but not in Texas Hold'em. But what I do is I have what I call the Sweet 16, okay? What the Sweet 16 is to me is when I get dealt my two cards down before any other cards are dealt, the Sweet 16 are the 16 best two cards that you can get. And that's like ace, ace, king, king, queen, queen, jack, jack. What do you think the fifth one is, George?
Jack, jack, 10, 10?
No, it's actually ace, king suited. And then 10, 10, then ace, queen suited, then ace, jack suited, then ace, king off suit, then king, queen suited. See, and I have all these memorized in my head.
That's valuable.
Well, it is, because let me tell you something. No matter how good you are and how much you know about that game, it doesn't. You can still lose to the normal guy that doesn't know anything.
He just stumbles his way into victory.
I know. It's amazing. Like, I had ace-ace. I have an ace and an ace. And we have...
All in.
The guy takes me all in, and I know he's bluffing. You know, I read this guy like a book. You could see he's lying. He's a young guy, and he was lying, you know? But I thought, I'm going to go all in anyway. And he turns over his cards. He has a king and a three. The flop comes up. The first three cards that come up, a pair of threes in there. So now he has three threes and he beats me.
He's
that's
already
like,
got
what
you.
Are you going to do? No matter how much you read the people, no matter how much you know, that's what's cool about the game. You can always beat a pro.
Would you stay in? Let's say they gave you a six and a nine. Would you stay in? Those are your first two cards.
It depends where I'm at on the button. It depends where I'm sitting. Like if everybody else drops and if I have the most money and everybody drops and just the one guy in front of me stays in, I might hang out. But if I'm the first guy betting and everybody's in the game, there's no way.
What do you do if everyone drops and they come to you and you're the only one left and you haven't made a decision yet? Do you automatically win?
Well, obviously, yeah.
Do? I mean, they don't just keep going around giving people a second shot?
No. Didn't you play this game? This is a cool game.
Yeah, I play a little bit.
Oh, it's the coolest game in the world. It is the coolest game. I love this game.
I'm too busy doing Coast to Coast.
Just like me, I'm too
Texas
busy doing
Hold'em.
Shows, and now I'm trying to, now I got a love for this game, and I can't, I'm hooked on it.
Okay, what's a little deal now for the Coast listeners if they go to mindwiz.com?
Yeah, mindwiz.com. You know, I'll put this up here, some of these things. I'll put these odds up and some of the things they could look at, this my Sweet 16 thing I call it and stuff like that. And I'll have Chris put up some good books they could look at in the bookstore, some of the best out there that I've looked at.
I bet we cooked your website today. I bet we cooked the server. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I bet you've gotten thousands of hits.
Well, that's
and
cool.
It's going to take a magician to get that opened up again.
Well, Chris is a magician, so I hope he can handle it.
All right, stay with us. Final half hour to go. Thanks, Chris. You are a great webmaster, and Jim Kirrell is our guest. We're going to be back with him in a moment. And final phone calls now. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. For you Doctor Who fans, the BBC has a new series, and they think it's going to be released here in the United States soon on DVD. You can check it out if you want by going to bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who. If you're interested in that, and if you remember that website, you can join Jim Kirrell on tour with his magic show. We'll be back in a moment. Our next program, by the way, will be our Friday into Saturday morning open line, so get ready for that. Anything goes. We will have a live visit, though, from Dr. Morgus, who's down there in Louisiana, and he is well. Back in a moment. And let's go back to final calls now with our guest, Jim Kirrell. How are you holding up here, Jim? This is a long show, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris just called me, actually, and he had to expand the bandwidth.
I told you. Crashed.
Yeah, you know, he's getting tons and tons of emails. But he said he challenges your listeners. There's no way that you'll crash it because he kept...
Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's what he told me to say, because he expanded it. Yeah, he just expanded it really big time.
All right.
Nobody will crash this one.
All right, go for it. Everybody hit him. Everybody hit the website, mindwiz.com. If you're on coasttocoastam.com now, there's a direct link. If you want to just go directly, it's mindwiz.com. I'll show you, Jim.
Uh-oh. Hey, George, just a quick hustle for you. You have a dollar bill on you?
Yeah, hold on.
You're going to love this. And your listeners will.
I'm not too proud to say that it may be all I have on
now. Now, being a... Okay. Being a supposed mind reader.
Okay, got it.
Okay?
Yep.
I'll bet you that dollar I can tell you the date.
What do you mean you can tell me the date?
Yeah, the date's February 3rd. All right.
Oh,
that's just
a
quickie. What the heck, you know. Hey, you know, but why have the dollar out? I'm going to show you something really cool.
All right.
I'm going to give you 15 seconds. I'll bet you that dollar that you can't find the date 1776 on it.
And I will mail it to you. If I'm wrong.
In fact, all your listeners, if they get a dollar bill out, I guarantee you none of them will find the date 1776, yet it's on there every bill.
What do you mean it's on here?
Most people never find it because it's written in Roman numerals on the base of the pyramid on the back of the bill. There's a good hustle for you.
Really?
A quick dollar bill bet for everybody. The date 1776 is in Roman numerals on the base of the pyramid on the back.
First of all, I can barely see the base.
No, that's why you can win the bet all the time. Nobody's ever going to find it. And even if they do, they're not going to see 1776.
All right.
Most people
I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you when I see you in L.A. Deal?
Anyway, there's a good one for you.
That is pretty good. All right. I remember I was in New Orleans for the Navy a long time ago, and a kid came up to me and he said, I'll bet you $5 I know where you got those shoes. And I'm saying to myself, there's no way this kid knows where I got these shoes. I can't even remember where I got them. And I said, sure. He says, well, you let your buddies hold the $5. And he gave one of my buddies $5 to hold. So there's 10 bucks there. And he says, all right, I'm going to tell you where you got your shoes. And I said, all right. He said, you ready? I says, yep. He says, you give me the money if I'm right, right? And I said, yes, I will. And he says, okay, you got him on your feet on Bourbon Street. He won.
Oh, God. He must have... Jeez.
First time.
I got to get you one of my books too. I'm gonna send you one.
All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Jim Carroll. Hi there.
Hey George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
First, I want to thank you and Art for putting on such a great show throughout the years. I listen from a unique perspective because I worked up in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, for about 8 years in the area you guys talk about. So it. You know, it's interesting as I listen.
Hits home sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, and my son lived in Pahrump, so I listen to you guys all the time. Anyhow, my next question is, my main reason I called is, Jim, thank you very much for staying up for us.
Oh, this is great. I'm having a good time. Like I said, I'm a fan and a listener, and I get to be a big part of the show today. That's cool. I like that.
That is so cool. And, you know, usually I just listen to this show, and I think back to the, you know, like my working for the Air Force and everything, and it's just interesting to listen to. But tonight I felt compelled to call because I'm like, this guy is, like, describing me, not the guy that can remember everything, but when you talked about, like, your college doing kind of blasé in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't know how this stuff happened, but you had a thing for numbers.
Yeah.
It's, I work for an engineering company, and I barely get by because I, you know, for lack of a better term, I can't remember crap.
Wow.
But, you know, my friends at work call me, like, they joke, when we do number things, they call me like Rain Man.
Wow.
And
as long as you don't have pancakes on Tuesday.
And well, you know what? I, in fact, missed most of the show because number one, I couldn't keep my wife up with the radio. And I went to the computer and I'm one of those guys that made you increase your bandwidth tonight.
Uh-oh.
And I emailed you because I'm interested in, I think I missed the few examples that you were showing for memory techniques.
Right.
But when you talked about that you started with a basic memory technique and it just kind of expanded from there.
Yeah, one thing leads to another, and you know it, 100 becomes 1,000, becomes 10,000, and it's just it's incredible what your mind is capable of. See, your mind, how it works is, I mean, I don't have a PhD in psychology. I wish I could bump into a psychologist that could tell me how this works, because then I'd write a good book about that yet. But the thing is, I mean, I'd be anybody's experimental case if they want to come aboard, George. You know what I mean? Boy,
That's right.
But here's what I think. Your short-term memory. How many digits are in a phone number? 7.
Right.
Plus the area code, right? That's mm-hmm. what your memory is capable of, holding like 7 to 10 digits, your short-term memory. But your long-term memory, I don't care what anybody tells you, it's unlimited. Unlimited. I'm proof of that. I mean, if you knew, I didn't even tell anybody what I have memorized because I don't want to talk about it. I can't even imagine that your mind can hold all this information. It's just incredible.
So back when you were in college and you said you kind of did, you know, halfway with grades and stuff like that.
First thing I took up was liberal arts, and then I didn't do well. So I changed my course to criminal justice, and I tried that. And, yeah, I didn't do that well either. But, you know, I spent most of my time skipping classes and playing cards and doing math. You know.
Now, did you remember well back then, and then it just improved,
no.
Or did you have a challenge back
no,
then?
No, I didn't. I don't think I applied myself. I don't know. I didn't know anything. Like I told you, I couldn't even keep 5 periodic table of elements memorized. Now I could rattle them off like they're nothing.
That's another thing I related to is just the now that I'm an adult, being able to grasp some things, but memory, unfortunately, is not one of them. So do you think you could post a couple of those techniques on your site?
I definitely have Chris do that because we're coming up with a lot of stuff now. We're really pursuing the memory aspect of this because I want to help kids and everybody, people. Hey, who knows? Maybe this even could help. Well, I don't want to say it, but you know, it might keep off the onset of Alzheimer's or something. Yeah,
right,
who knows
right.
what it does by exercising your mind. Yeah, I'm 52 years old. And I know more now than, oh, my God. It's just incredible what you can learn. But I do it with an exercise bike. I ride an exercise bike, and then it's like, I don't know, maybe your blood flows faster.
Oh, absolutely.
Brain.
Sure.
I don't know what it is.
Energized. How long have you been at this then?
Only about 2 years.
That's it?
In 2 years, I memorized all of this stuff. And it's just like if I would have not been on the phone tonight with you, I would have been sitting here listening to your show and looking at flashcards. Trying to learn more new stuff
professionally. Now I know you told us a great story about your wife.
Yeah.
But professionally, what are you the most proud of for yourself?
Me?
Yeah.
My family, my kids.
In what you do.
In what I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I think just to see.
Look how far you've come.
I like smile. I like seeing people smile and people happy, and you know, like if I do a show and I. You know, if I see one person don't like my show, it bothers me.
You know what? 1,000 could love it.
Yeah.
One could hate it.
And I'm
and
like,
that's
why?
The one you want to key in on.
I know. You want to key in and like, hey, you want to try to win them over too.
It's yeah. Like, you want them all.
I don't know. It's just so. Yeah, that's what I like. I like when people. I like the smiles when people say like the look of amazement. Like, oh my God. See, and I don't really go out for the. Impress. I don't try to impress people. I try to make them laugh. I try to make them have a good time, and that's what I'm into. I think the laugh is more important than the, you know, the fact that you're impressing somebody
yep.
that you read minds or whatever. I mean, I never even say that. I never would tell anybody I read minds. I don't say that. Let them perceive what I do. Do I read minds? Is it a magic trick? And you know.
Well,
but
I
yeah, that's
it.
Great. I'm glad that you're like that. The fact of it, the numbers later in life, you know, hey, it's better late than never.
You got it.
You know?
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Good. We're doing fine. Thanks.
I have two things. The first one's a question. The second one's a really interesting story about dreams.
Sure.
Well, I'm 19 years old, and I've been fascinated with magic my whole life. I was wondering what advice Jim had to kind of get into it and learn those cool tricks.
I help anybody. I love young guys helping these young kids. Chris. I'm telling you, like my buddy Chris and stuff. It's just to see you guys are at that age interested in this instead of out there getting yourself in trouble somewhere. You know, what I mean that's what I'm all about. You know, this is incredible. So many young people into this. That's incredible. Anytime you just check my website out, you email Chris and myself, and we'll guide you the right way. We'll help you out. I love hearing that. I love hearing young kids wanting to get into this.
Great. And what's your dream story?
Yeah, I want to hear this because I'm into dreams.
Well, my mom swears my dad's an alien. this happened before I was born. They're sleeping, And my mom said she had this dream where she seen my dad, like his soul, leave his body and float out the window. So she followed him without him knowing. And then she said they're in this, she was hiding behind this rock in a desert atmosphere. And he was talking to these beings. She couldn't explain what they look like. She just said they're beings. They're just there, you know. And she woke up. And in the morning, my dad woke up. He said, I had this crazy dream. Well, I floated out the window, and I went into this desert, and I was talking to these people, these beings. And she had the same dream, but from a different perspective. And they both swear it happened.
Wow.
So what do you think? You think Dad's an alien?
I have no clue.
I mean, does he act okay?
Yeah, he's a normal guy, and whenever my mom brings that up, he kind of just ignores her. And
he goes, nano, or something like that.
That's cool, though. Wow.
That is it. Okay, thanks, and email Jim, and he'll take care of you. Appreciate it. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm really enjoying the program.
Thank you.
Jim.
Hi.
For many, many years now, I have been wondering if this person who did a magic trick for me was really doing magic, or was it something metaphysical or something? Let me tell you what he did, okay?
Yeah.
Well, he had this deck of cards. He was a friend of mine, not somebody just, you know, passing down the street, but he was a friend of mine. And he had this deck of cards, and he opened it up like a fan, you know, in front of me with the numbers towards me.
Yeah.
And he said, pick a card, any card, and just keep it in your mind and don't tell me what it is. Then he closed the deck up. He handed me the deck of cards, and he said to shuffle them. I shuffled them, and he said, now hold them between your index finger and your thumb, and just hold them as tight as you can. And when I hit these cards, you're going to be holding the card that you picked in your mind. And he did it.
And we hit all the cards fall on the floor except for the one. That's cool. That's a cool magic. That's a magic trick. That's not metaphysical, but that's a cool trick, though.
You know, there's a trick to that.
Well, yeah, I can't tell you how it's done, though.
I've been wondering for like 20 years.
Cool.
It was like 20 years ago, and it's like.
What, did he try to pick you up with it?
No, he already had.
All right. That's another thing magic is useful for the single people out there. It really works.
Yeah, it wasn't the magic that got me about him, but it was just one of those things that came up when I was with him, you know, around him. And I just can't figure out how somebody...
Well, that's what's fun. As long as you thought it was metaphysical all these years, hey, that's what it's all about. It's
well, I want to ask a real magic person like you so that I don't go, oh, okay. Yeah. There's something behind it. And after he did all this stuff, like, oh, I'm so out of breath. Oh, it took all the energy out of me.
That's great. He was great then. That's how you have to do it. You have to, the showmanship is so important.
Uh-huh.
He pulled it off. It worked.
Wow. Okay, so it was a trick.
You got it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it. 50 Ways to Hustle Your Friends. Are your books out there now? Well, you were saying this one's out of print.
Well, the new one is being printed as we speak. It should be out shortly, 52 Ways. It's a revised edition of it. Plus, the 50 Ways to Hustle Your Friends is my old picture with my long hair. Now I shave my head. You know, I'm going bald, 52.
So you changed a little bit.
Yeah, so I got to put the new picture up. And so it'll be 52 Ways to Hustle Your Friends. And that'll be out very, very, very shortly.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jim Carroll. Hi there.
Hi, this is Adam calling from Peoria, Illinois.
Adam.
I had a real quick story that's going to hit on a couple of topics you've been on tonight.
Sure.
My grandfather passed away last week, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And he had a couple of hobbies in his retirement years. And oddly enough, one of his hobbies was antique clock repair. So I thought it was kind of interesting that you were commenting about his grandfather clock going off in the background. And then talking about the Johnny Cash songs. I'm also a big Johnny Cash fan as well. But the main story I wanted to tell was my grandfather's other hobby was CB radio. And one of the gentlemen that he talked to a lot on the CB, his handle was Mr. Magic.
Wow.
And when I was about 12 years old, my mom had taken me to our local magic shop here and had happened to notice a Magician's Encyclopedia set that had been sitting on the shelf behind her. And she had happened to notice the name of the author of this set of encyclopedias. And she knew Mr. Magic's real name, and she said that that was the guy that my grandfather had talked to on the radio, on the CB radio.
How about that for synchronicity?
Wow. Yeah, and I was just wondering if your guest possibly would know his real name.
Mr. Magic.
Mr. Magic?
I'm sure a lot of guys have written books about magic, but I was guessing not very many had written an entire encyclopedia.
Oh, there were a couple. There were a couple written. A couple. There's like a bunch of them. That could be anybody. Wow. Do you know what his name is?
No, I don't know the real name.
Do you know the name of the book?
No, like I said, it was an entire encyclopedia of books. It must have been 12
books.
There's
a lot of stuff. If I'd hear it, I'd probably know it. You know, I can't. Geez, sorry, I can't help you. Boy, we did really touch on him today. Everything, wow, between the clock and the man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really something.
That's incredible. That's
some
incredible.
Interesting synchronicity there.
Would his name be John Clute? John Grant?
I don't believe so.
John Grant, yeah, he's one. But there's one called Tarbell's Encyclopedia. There's so many of them. Oh, my gosh. It could be anybody.
I didn't realize there were that many magic encyclopedias.
Oh, my gosh. There are, like, so many magic books out here. So many magic encyclopedias, Encyclopedia of Rope Tricks, this kind of encyclopedia, that kind of, oh, my.
John Bannon?
I'm really not sure. Like I said, when he was talking to my grandfather, I was pretty young back in those days, so.
Wow, that is probably an old-timer, too. It's probably somebody from years and years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Was the book like from the 30s or 40s or something?
I would love a book like that.
Oh, my.
I imagine it was a little newer than that. Like I said, my grandfather just passed away at 88, so yeah. I'm thinking the gentleman was the same age as him, and I believe he actually preceded him in death. So
wow.
He was a fairly old-timer.
Wow.
It seems like the guy who owned the magic store had said that he recognized the name of the guy who wrote the book and said that at one time he had won the, whatever it is, Magician's Alliance Award.
Yeah,
best magician of the year, and had been given the key to the magic castle and the whole nine yards.
Wow.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, if you have it, I'd like to hear who that is.
Open up an old book like that, Jim. It will pull you right in.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing new in magic. Some of those older books are the best books out there. It's incredible.
Now, how fitting for the clock to go off at the end of the show.
Oh, you want the prediction?
Yeah.
Super Bowl?
Yep.
Super Bowl 40, for the very, very first time ever. It's going into overtime.
That's the prediction.
Overtime. First Super Bowl ever. And I don't like picking teams, but I have a feeling Bettis is playing in Detroit, his hometown. I got to give the edge to Pittsburgh, plus since I'm a steelworker.
In overtime. You got it. Jim Carroll, thank you so much. Keep in touch, my friend.
Good night, George. Thanks for everything.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.